Johnny, you got that.
Welcome to the next episode of the Tell Me You Got That podcast. My name is Hayden. As always, I'm joined by
Sam O'Neill
and
Zach Bennett
and special guest
Sam Keenan.
Oh, well done. He's nailing it already.
He's a freaking natural.
Have you done this before?
No.
In this episode, we're discussing 1982's The Thing, which is directed by John Carpenter and stars Kurt Russell. And the plot involves a group of American researchers in Antarctica who are terrorized by a shape-shifting alien that can imitate any living creature. They must find a way to identify and destroy the thing before it escapes and infects the world. Fellas, what are our thoughts on this one?
Regular Tuesday for me.
Save it for the podcast. Bennett, what did you think?
Regular snooze fest for me.
Oh, really?
Nah.
You were snoozing.
I was going to say it was a regular Tuesday.
No, I was pleasantly surprised by it because I thought it was going to be shit when I went into it.
Yeah.
But it was quite good.
I heard it cracked your top 10 movies of all time.
It did not.
Wow.
You got bad intel on that.
Wow. I don't know where I heard that.
Yeah. I was confident because Sam Keenan said it was good, so
I think it's one of the top 5 movies ever made.
Yeah, it's pretty,
doesn't crack my sexiest list, but it tops my best list.
Your sexiest being Dracula?
Bram Stoker's Dracula. 1992.
No, I was pleasantly surprised. I thought it was going to be solid. I thought 1982, the special effects have probably waned, but those practical special effects with aliens bursting out of people's faces are pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, it holds up.
Which is your favorite prosthetic at the moment?
Oh, surely the head coming off the body.
Yeah, I think so.
I reckon mine's when Eli goes to do the defibrillators, he like sticks his hands in bites his hands up. Spoilers.
But he just kind of like rips his hand, like it bites them, doesn't like bite them clean. They're still stuck in there, and then he just like rips them off. It's like they're jelly arms. That was probably the reason why I didn't make my
really top. His ability to rip his own arms off was the most impressive part.
Any other final thoughts?
I thought, well, one small thing, as a thing aficionado, Sam, maybe, part where MacReady comes in, they're suspicious of him being part of, like, one of the things, and then he flamethrowers up the guy whose head rips off, his stomach comes out and everything. He tells them to wait outside, and it makes it look like he's giving it time to scurry off because he's on its side, and he wants to look like he's... But I don't know if any of you... Think or see
I thought it was a weird choice, but I didn't think much more about it.
Yeah.
I let that go.
Yeah. If I recall correctly, I think that the guy who points out the head's crawling away is actually the thing at that point in the movie. So that's what's actually almost weirder, I think.
That's interesting.
I think that's the guy who gets, when they do the blood test, he's the one who's the thing.
So he was trying to earn brownie points and stay.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that's the thing. Is the thing one monster or is the thing like a bunch of different monsters?
Yeah.
We can discuss this all night.
That's
and
interesting.
We will.
Yeah.
I would have liked some payoff. Understanding like when each person got infected and how, like having the randomized people who they don't actually explain when they were infected, that kind of weighed on me a bit. I was like, I want to know. It's like an unanswered question.
So some kind of some sort of like revelation of like, oh, when he was acting this way, that was because that was happening.
I reckon the rewatch value for the film comes from not knowing when people get infected. I've rewatched it like 10 times, I reckon. I'm always like, when does this person get infected? Like, you watch the whole movie for, like, which point? And some parts I think it's kind of clear. Some parts I think you're like, man, it happened off screen.
Tell me you got that.
All right, on to the next segment, fellas. The next one's called Patient Zero. We're going to pitch an alternative way that the thing could have been introduced to the American research facility.
Potato gun.
Yeah, okay. Elaborate.
Oh, that was just a thing. You didn't see the hints throughout the movie that suggested potato gun was actually
infected. Infected potato gun.
The Norwegians, the planned prequel they had was that they uncovered in the slab of ice was just a potato, and they were a perfectly preserved potato in the middle of nowhere.
They put hints throughout the whole movie about potatoes.
So what would have happened if you ate a thing? Like, do you think you'd be infected?
I reckon you'd be infected.
I think you're supposed to be, because that one guy with the glasses, he's like, oh, even a particle is enough to set you off. And he suggests everyone eats separately. And then, I don't know, it doesn't really seem like it comes up again.
Like, the blood was, in a way, sentient and like was like kind of like scurrying away.
Trying to survive,
Because they were saying that it could wait it out by just, it wants to freeze us to death. It'll survive. It'll be bit like dug up at one point. Even like a hand was blown up, but like kind of made it clear of the explosion. If that ever gets dug up and reintroduced in society, it's back on board. And
why wouldn't you just like? Why wouldn't each thing just spread out into multiple things then?
Yeah, big blunder.
Because they're quite like, even that head seemed like it was pretty fearsome. If they didn't catch it, I feel like it could have been like in the vents and, you know.
Yeah. I think we're getting ahead of ourselves here. Let's go back to the patient zero thing.
Yes. Here's my idea. My scenario, this same situation happens and he cuts the gunner and he keeps missing. He's looking very frustrated. And we cut to a close up of the snow and then we pan up and it reveals McReady's famous cowboy hat is scuttling through the snow. And it's revealed later that McReady was actually the first victim of the thing when he reflexively puts his hat on when he gets into the helicopter for the first time. All on that is the creature doesn't change, so it's still a dog, but it's not the Norwegians that are chasing the dog, but Australians. And noting that in the 80s, America had this obsession with everything Australiana. In this scenario, it's actually an Australian, but he's using very over-the-top slang. So the pilot drops his grenade by accident, shouts, "Struth, this bugger's gonna go off like a frog in a sock!" And it blows up. And then the dog runs and starts looking at the Americans, and the Aussies start shouting, "You bloody drongo, that slippery mutt's gonna snag in its tucker bag!" And the Americans are just like, "What is going on?" And because the Americans have gone like a couple of days without shooting and killing something, they just decide to kill the Americans.
Yeah, this guy's rabid.
Are they all played by Paul Hogan?
I think they should be, yeah.
This is so funny. Mine's almost verbatim the same as yours, literally. Mine is... so many films involve... Like, so many horror films from that age involve people bringing something like this foreign or like a big red flag aboard their ship, like Alien, for example. But the thing about the thing is they bring this... It's a green flag. The dog is like... It's a puppy. Like, if I was in the snow, I'd bring a puppy into my station.
Absolutely.
I would trust it.
Yeah, and it was a good boy. Followed
yeah, it was a good boy.
A nice little fella. He blended in quite well.
Yeah, I agree. So, like, hey, I just made a list of other green flags they could have bought in. And it's time relevance. The first one would be a really cute rabbit. How did it get to Antarctica? That's a little bit suspicious.
Nice.
There's an oiled up Dolph Lundgren from Rocky 3.
Oh, yes.
I'd let him come in.
He's coming in.
He's a tender fella.
Exactly.
Antarctica's population of oiled up Dolph Lundgrens was like in its prime back then.
Exactly.
It's actually a real shame. It's an ecological disaster. Yeah.
Too much oil. The sentient chessboard. I think you notice at the start of the film there's a robot chessboard.
Yeah.
Like the only woman in the entire film is the robot chessboard, which they immediately murder. Yeah. So a sentient chessboard you can play against. I bring that in.
Oh, yeah.
A really cool hat, like a cowboy hat. A cheese board. A VHS copy of season 1 of I Dream of Jeannie and an accompanying VCR player. Or a delicious home cooked meal. Those are all things I would bring back to the station.
Yeah, no, that's smart.
That's how it would get
like
in
there. Yeah, I can see that happening.
My one was that instead of a dog being chased by a man in a helicopter, it was a man being chased by a Norwegian dog in the helicopter. So the dog is like somehow like highly trained, highly skilled. Is operating, like one dog is operating like the controls, the other dog is kind of like using the scope and everything, aiming it out, and they're just like, whoa, we're baffled by this. And the guy makes it to their base. They somehow, the dogs end up destroying themselves, and they lead the Norwegian guy into the Norwegian pen they have where they keep their Norwegian.
Oh, yeah, put him in the cage.
Does the Norwegian blow his cover immediately then, like the dog does in the movie?
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to take all these dogs right now, get them all riled up. That won't be suspicious.
I'm not going to wait till anyone's asleep. Were they asleep? Or
some of them.
It was night time then, yeah.
Are there more Norwegians? There's more Norwegians in the cage.
Yes.
Yeah, like 8 Norwegians or so, roughly.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's say.
And do they start barking when the other Norwegian comes in? Yeah, okay. Like actually, like dog barking or like a Norwegians take, like them saying woof.
We do an Animal Farm situation where we hear it as barking, and then at the end of the film they do a whole Animal Farm spin where it's like, turns out the Norwegians were people the whole time.
Alright, good segment, fellas. Next one's called Tantalizing Taglines. So in this segment, we're all competing marketing consultancies and we're pitching taglines for the movie. Sam Keenan, would you like to kiss off?
I tried to do a rhyming thing, which did not go well, because I mean, a couple of words rhyme with a thing, but not a lot. So my tagline was, do you want to take a swing at the thing? It's the king of clinging to your corpse and replacing it with itself. Hashtag spoilers, hashtag scary alien, hashtag ambiguous ending, hashtag Keith David Hardy. Cold War metaphor.
My one was, it's going to be a picture of a grotesque Cronenberg, the thing, and it's like, it's just the poster, it's just it, and it's like pulling down a pair of sunglasses, and it's a play on Got Milk, and it's like, Got Flesh?
Nice.
And luckily for the thing, we do.
Yeah.
So mine, it's not mine actually. I watched the movie last night with my sister and brother-in-law. ran through the segments with them, and immediately my sister was like, "Don't worry, I got your tagline." And she said, "You've heard of the stuff. Now get ready for the thing." And that's, I was like, "That's done."
What's the stuff?
A movie that exists.
The Thing was very brave at the time for doing a movie about Thing instead of Stuff, because Stuff was so popular.
Stuff was so popular, it would have been an easy route. Everyone was talking about Stuff. No one was talking about the Things.
Yeah.
Stuff was easy money. All right, I've got two very average ones. The first one is, in Antarctica, no one can hear you steam.
Oh.
Because you're all on fire.
That's good. Mm.
It's got that in brackets as well.
That's good.
And the other one is for our Lano and Woodley fans. The thing is, when I say the alien's name, you'll know him, you'll love him. He's the alien guy.
Yeah. And the thing that we should note here is that most of the Lano and Woodley fans that exist are in this room.
there's not many of us. The next one is alternative test. We have to imagine ourselves as the sciencey guy, and we have to think of a unique test to sort out who is infected and who's unaffected. Sam O'Neill, would you like to kick us off?
Sure thing, Hayden Van Roon. The sciencey guy does an autopsy on one of the Thing humans and finds out that the organs are just kind of like Ken doll stuff. So it's like they don't actually functional. They're just like, you actually cut them up and look inside, like they're just like the shapes of organs and they're not actually like functional.
Yeah, okay. So like a comic, like a heart-shaped heart as opposed to an anatomically shaped heart.
Like a game of Operation. But basically he finds that their bowels are just like, they're basically for show. They're not functional bowels that have like, that you open up and they actually work. They're just like the shape of a bowel because they got like the, okay, humans have this, but they didn't synthesize all the details. Oh. And so they realized that the Things cannot produce shit or farts. And so the test is they have to take a shit on the floor. And that proves their humanity.
So they're all like, imagine like there's a scenario where they're all tied up and they've got a shit, like, and they've got like a hole in the bottom of the chair.
Yes.
And they're all tied up next to each other. And one guy like shits and the other person starts squealing like, oh my God, is he the Thing? It's like, no, just a horrible shit. Get me out of here. That's the worst shit of all time.
So basically, yeah, the same scene where they've got the blood being burnt. They're all tied up and they're taking, they're like, okay, now you, Childs, and then Childs takes the shit on command. And they do it up, leading up to one guy. And then that guy is like, I don't need to go. It's, I know for a fact you haven't shat for at least, like, I don't know how long. He's like, take a shit. And he's like, I don't have to go. And then they're like, okay. And then he starts frothing, but then they're kind of like shaking around.
Wow. Scat play. That's what was missing from the Thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, they really blew that.
Would that be like a red herring? Because maybe someone like did poop, but maybe they were the Thing and the shit was alive. It was like sentient shit. Your version is they're pooping.
Yeah,
they are definitely not the Thing.
There could be some deception in that, like, somebody, like one of the Things, like at one point scoops up another guy's shit and then keeps it for later, and then like he just kind of uses his hand to drop it down the back at the end.
That's how they get shit in his hand. That's how they tell. Yeah. Like, how'd you get shit in your hand?
It's like, exactly. They have to shit and now lick your hand afterwards.
I'll follow on the shit talk with a bit more shit talk.
Go for it, if
you don't mind. So the first thing is, I had a question. Does the Thing retain your memories or get access to them?
I think so.
It seems like they probably do.
But, you know, if they don't, you could just simply ask them what they did last week, like ask them questions about that, and they wouldn't know.
That's a solid theory.
But you pretty quickly learn that they probably do have access to those memories, so then you got to move on. The next one is, well, you know, at the end when it's Kurt Russell and Keith David at the end. You know how, like, you're like, oh, it's ambiguous? Apparently it's not ambiguous.
Oh, really?
Because the guy's not breathing.
I still think
it's ambiguous. Oh, really?
Because they're good at dealing with the cold. He's not, like, affected by the... Keith David's, like, doing no misty air, whereas Kurt Russell is pure billowing it out of his mouth.
Oh, that's right. Kurt Russell does say, oh, man, I'm billowing over here. Yeah. It looks fine.
And he wouldn't shut up about it. Like, they were trying to keep it subtle, but he's like, I insist I say this four times.
My character would want to say this.
Yeah, exactly. So, not that they would know that at the time. They wouldn't be like, oh, the Thing doesn't breathe much even when it's cold. But you would be like, all right, let's subject everyone to extreme cold or extreme heat and then just see if there's a difference there. Like, go to, like, our limits. Maybe they have lower limits in one way or the other. Maybe they don't. Maybe that goes nowhere. But then, like, just a regular body temperature test. Because what are humans? Like, 36 degrees?
37.
37. Like, without fail. Yeah. Unless you're fucking sick.
Yeah.
But, okay, we can allow for that. Surely, like, these creatures have a probably higher.
How would you take their temperature? Is it a rectal thermometer?
Just a...
It would have to be rectal, right? Yeah.
Just get one of those beep guns. We had them in the 80s.
I guess imagine the scientists like going to someone who they suspect as being a thing and like shaking as they go to the rectal thermometer and just like putting it in there and it just snaps on their hand. Their asshole just opens up. Boom! Yeah.
What if maybe your version, like the computer just tells you like oh, regular humans, like these creatures don't seem to billow.
That one over there in the corner, he's not billowing.
Also, in terms of just the like heat thing, like it seemed like their reaction to heat was so strong that you could have just like, you know, sucked it up and been like, okay, I'm just going to prick you in the leg and like just like choose your non-preferred hand or something like that, and I'll just like, you know, steam you a little bit. And then,
yeah.
Yeah, if you fizzle up like Satan, then I know that you're a thing, but if not...
They're oily boys. I think that's the original title of the movie.
That was
the Oily Boys. It was too scary. They didn't want to use
No, that was like the marketing tagline.
And Dolph Lundgren was going to be one of them. Can't believe
I'm
the original Oily Boy.
There was going to be three Dolph Lundgrens on the poster. Just all in
all. He doesn't even come up in the movie at all. There's three of you on every poster. Even like sometimes Kurt's in there, but like there's always Dolph
in the background, like faded over them. All right, Kenan, what's your?
Well, it's really funny because my notes for this were shit on the floor, but I was like, no, this is a classy podcast. They're going to talk about shit on the floor. So my idea was so these guys have spent like a really long time together, and even though they're like big, gruff, manly men, I bet that they shared some like really dark, deep secrets about each other.
Mm-hmm.
So my idea is like, I don't know if the thing like has all their memories. Like the thing is like good at pretending to be human, but not necessarily amazing. Mm-hmm. So what they should do is like go in groups of three and like get all the pillows and blankets and like just turn into the room into like a giant, like very comfortable, like pillow fort, like sleepover, and just like, you know, reveal all their dark secrets. Yeah. And like kind of like you ask someone their dark secret, like if I knew your dark secret, I'd ask you your dark secret. And if you didn't know it, you get flamethrowered.
And why do they need to be groups of three? Just for safety reasons.
Because if you're in a group of two, one person's a thing.
Yeah, they're just fucked already.
Groups of three.
Groups of three, you got two things.
Then you're unlucky.
I like it.
Thank you. Sleepover party.
I took a bit of a simpler route to what you guys said and your complexity. So, you know how when they find shredded clothes of people who've been infected?
Yeah, drawers.
Right? It was a clear indication that you find someone's shredded drawers, they're infected. And so in my version, the things have a weird trait by where the longer the thing for, the sharper their toenails become, right? And it progressively goes from big toe to little toe, right?
Yeah.
So a recently thingified person, you can't really, they've got, their toes are pretty normal, right? But each hour that they're a thing, the toenails become longer and longer. So by the first hour, the first toe, big toe, has a really thick, pointy toenail. And three hours, three toes have sharp toenails. And so the way they figure out who's a thing is you check to see if their toes have pierced the socks. So in this dramatic scene, they are carefully removing each shoe. As they discover the thing, they pull the shoe off. If your toes are still in your socks, then you are fine. You are human. So they get to the last guy, they take the shoe off and it reveals three toes sticking out. And that's just like, that's when the dramatic music hits. The thing immediately starts shaking. The guy doesn't know what to do. He's holding the shoes in his hand and he's freaking out. And because he doesn't move, the guy eats him and the shoes fall and they put a close up of the shoe. I think they're just a complete missed opportunity. I think the shoe reveal would have just made the movie, to be honest. Yeah.
You got that.
This segment's called Game Plan Humans. If you're McReady and you're appointed leader, what is your strategy to cull the things? Bennett, do you want to go first?
Yeah. The first thing I thought was
shit on the floor.
Go in groups of three or more every time. But then I thought, no, you got to go bigger than that. Everyone all together at the same time. And you'd be like, oh, but Zach, people need to piss and shit. Like, yeah, you piss and shit at the same time. Big piss and shit circle every time. No one separates, no one goes off.
In this theory, does the thing shit?
I guess so.
That's important.
Yeah, I think it could, I guess.
So it's not a test.
Oh, that's dangerous. You have sentient shit.
That's not a test, no. This is just to keep track of everyone so there's no sneaky assimilations off to the side here and there. Group piss, group shit, and then you get a few people in the corner of the room sleeping at all times, so there's always, you know, you gotta sleep.
Jag off together.
So I've got written here, yeah, group piss and shit until the blood test can be done. And you can figure out who's who, and you fucking know. There's no leftovers. Everyone's torched or human. And then another thing, if that doesn't work, you can try reverse psychology on the things. The things, they're like, okay, they want to sabotage the humans and kill them eventually, take them over. So you try to say things to trick them. So you say something like, oh boy, it'd really suck if like our radio got fixed. That would really hinder our chances of beating this thing. And so like a thing hearing that, like, oh, I'm going to go fucking fix their radio. Like, it seems like they need that to be broken to stop us.
Potentially they make the radio even better because they're super advanced alien race that can have mastered space travel. So maybe they turn it into a weapon of some kind that can kill them.
Yeah.
Because it's very advanced radio that can kill you.
Big own goal from the thing.
Yeah. It would sure suck if all the thing's necked right now.
Well, that was another thing. You could talk about heaven and how you're like, oh man, getting to heaven like is just the best life. Like the whole nine yards, whatever you want. To trick them, you'll be like, oh yeah, how good's heaven? And like two humans are talking, like, how good's heaven? And the other guy's like, oh yeah, it's real good. Fucking, I'd kill myself immediately if I can get up there. And the other guy's like, oh yeah, but too bad we're such cowards, we can't do it. And the thing's like, well, I'm not a coward, I can do it. Just next.
I can kill you guys.
How would he do it?
The thing, it would just burn itself, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Quick, just jump quick, quick,
painless. The cocoa bean, but a flamethrower style.
Yeah. So yeah, like tricking him with the promise of heaven or the radio trick, the good old radio trick. Wow.
Keenan,
mine is very different to that. I think MacReady pretty much nailed it. But right like, at the end of the film, they like get under the cabin and I think they find like an alien spaceship that the thing's been building, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
So I reckon their fuck up was realized because like, the thing just wanted to go home. So what they should have done is like gotten all the blankets in groups of threes, all the pillows, and just built like a cute little like pillow fort in one of the rooms. They've gotten all the food and just kind of like waited the thing out. Like maybe give it some like transistors and like sheet metal. Let it build the ship and just, you know, go back to its home planet.
So you,
but they had a lot of dynamite. So what you do is put dynamite in the back of the ship when you're down there being sneaky at first. And then it flies off home. It blows up in the sky. You get to walk away from the explosion.
How does it blow up?
Because the nitroglycerin is in dynamite. It's really, really shaky. If you shake dynamite, it explodes. If you fucking take it into hyperspace, it explodes.
Is it true?
I don't know.
Probably not. My other question is, how can you say that MacReady and co. did a good job when they all died, except at most two of them?
You know, they were fighting against some, it's an alien, it's tough odds.
It had
some of them lived.
I think if they nailed it, like, they would have won.
When they found the ship, I think there were, like, four of them alive, and there was, what, nine to start with? That's almost 50%.
Mm. I didn't even think about the fact that it was trying to just go home.
Yeah. Really, the alien's the hero of the film.
Well, maybe not home, but to the mainland, and then where it's got more humans to eat.
Oh, because the start of the film is it crashing on Earth, right? Not it coming to
that's
Earth.
The thing,
It just wants, it's E.T., same movie.
Why risk them going to a big country where there's heaps of people and they can just take over the world? Don't know if they want to fuck right off or fuck off a little bit to the next country, like Australia.
It's a risky choice. It's possible, right? But I think because there's no guarantees in that. And what I kind of like about it, the whole movie, is that the characters are actually mostly making decisions to save humanity, especially at the end where they basically blow up their own base. They do that because they're like, we've got no alternative. We have to, we can't let it escape. O'Neill, have we done yours?
Not yet. The humans' game plan is that everybody sews together their tops and bottoms into big onesies that are unavoidable for the things to, even if the things catch on, they can't be like, oh, okay, we got to take our shirts off first, or we got to like rip the guy's shirt off, then eat him. They all sew everything together, like and even around the socks and everything, so they're fully inside them. And everyone signs their signature on every onesie, so they know if they did some tricky stuff and like they ripped or they tried like to put some similar clothing on, it's gotta have everyone's signature on it. So everyone does that. Yeah, they basically just see if anybody tears, anybody rips, and that's how you know.
So everyone's onesies aren't joined together. They just make sure that to get out of the clothing, they have to rip them. Is that?
I didn't even think about bodily functions. Everyone has their own onesie, but basically there's no way of them getting somebody out of it or getting out of it.
Yeah, so you have to rip it, and then that's the telltale sign.
Yeah.
I like that your last two things were about shit, and your last one was, I didn't think about bodily functions.
Yeah, I saved all my shit for the last one.
Does it save anyone? So fast forward, someone rips out of their clothing, someone finds it.
You kill both people.
You kill both people.
Yeah, anybody who's not in their onesie,
Here's the thing about the movie, though. They find MacReady's jacket torn up.
Yeah.
And he's not the thing.
But
so
how
does that happen?
How did he get torn up?
Yeah. It was interesting because like that was one of the two things that I saw that I just wasn't sure what the director's intentions were by that.
I think intention is the thing was like trying to sow dissent.
Yeah.
Especially because he was the leader by that point, right? I think that's, I don't know.
They'd found the, like, some person's, like, clothing before they learnt that, oh, okay, like, ripped up clothes is a sign. Like, because they mentioned, like, somebody's, like, whose drawers are these or whatever in the kitchen. I thought that the thing did that before we were even thinking about that as a thing, but
I mean, much easy just to bury your clothing in the snow, like 100 meters away. It's probably not going to get found. All right, here's what I've got. So, a question for you before I begin: what's the most powerful source of energy in Antarctica?
The simultaneously, sun.
That's not exclusive to Antarctica, but not a bad guess. It is obviously the Antarctic sea currents.
Oh, yeah.
And so my scenario is...
He's right, you know.
That using a series of pulleys and levers, I would harness the unrivaled power of the Antarctic sea currents. I would set up a perpetually heated needle for each team member to wear that's connected to the sea currents, and it would burn them every 15 seconds to make sure that if they're infected, they would react. And also, if they remove the needles or the series of pulleys and levers, it's connected to a lamp that allow... let me start again. Edit that shit out.
Tell me you got that.
So if the infected person does remove the pulleys and levers, it's connected to an alarm system which shouts the name of the person who pulls the, the lever off. And of course, if you come across someone who's not wearing their pulley machine, then of course you need to kill them because they're infected.
Yeah.
And as an added bonus, the machine also jacks them off.
That's a big win.
So what's... I think I already know the answer to this, but what function does the jacking off part of it serve?
Quality of life.
Quality of life, and when they eventually burn the whole base down, they burn all their food with them as well. And so it's a source of nutrients.
That yeah, yeah.
But you don't consume your own, you consume someone else's.
This might, yeah, be, of course. This might be a bit cross, but if you were the thing, I feel like if you came on the floor, that cum would be sentient. So wouldn't it crawl away? You'd be like, that's some crawling cum. That's a thing.
That's a good test.
That's a good
Everyone jizz onto this plate.
I like soggy biscuit.
That's a great test. A great thing test.
Yeah. Oh, that
you a thing.
This whole podcast has felt like you guys brainstorming the porn parody.
Got that.
Good segment, fellas. Next one's called computer screen. Instead of the extremely specific exposition given by the computer to Dr. Blair, what else could have the computer said when analyzing the likelihood of what's going to happen with the infection? Mine's the worst. It just says, you're fucked. Then it zaps Dr. Blair, says, ha ha ha, before saying, vengeance for Chess Master. Because, of course, Chess Master gets destroyed, like, so early in the film.
And that was the computer skill.
Is that what it was called? I thought it was called Chess Wizard. Nah?
I think Chess Master.
I think it's Chess Master.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
That was pretty good.
Chess Master?
I thought that was a good bit.
Yeah, okay.
And we're going to establish
some because they're like together, those two computer programs? Yeah.
It's like the...
It's vengeance for...
Vengeance, yeah. Because he just killed him for no reason. He was like, oh, I lost to the Jess thing. And he's like, I was furious about that.
I thought it would waste this great resource because you played shit.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Kurt.
I hate it.
What is breaking? Because they've been in the Antarctic for months. What was his breaking point that day with the computer?
Yeah.
That's the prequel I need.
Unless he fixes it every day.
He's like under a fan every day, just like blowing through it and like patting it dry just for the next day to throw more whiskey.
It's his own Sisyphus situation, just like losing to it. Whiskeying it, fixing it, repeat.
Hey, so I did us all a favor and looked it up. It's Chess Wizard, so.
But it's a woman.
But yeah, maybe I watched the Australian version, which was Master.
Yeah.
I think that's what happened. Bennett, what's your...
I didn't get anything for this one.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I can see that. All right. Okay, so like just blank screen, the computer turns off.
Yeah. I did write Piss Belt, though.
You'll know.
Dicko will know.
Dicko will know. O'Neill.
So mine was just that at that exact moment, spam pops up and says, I wanted to add a couple more inches, but never believed mine could get this big. Increase yours up to twice the size. And he goes, oh, I'm perplexed.
And that's how it tells them about the impending doom.
We never get to see what it actually meant. Like the spam pop-up comes through and he's like, okay, I'll cause the intrigue. Okay.
Just an opportunity for him to actually purchase it, and then the delivery guy comes and rescues Kurt Russell.
Just Kurt.
Just
leaves the rest of it.
Tell me you got that.
Game plan, the thing. So you're the thing. What's your strategy to take over and win? So I'm going to get the dynamite and just walk out into the middle of the night, walk out and place dynamite remote charges in all different kind of locations, maybe 100, 200 meters away.
I'm listening.
Then in the middle of group conversations, I'll detonate the explosion. and then put my hand over people's faces and go, shh. And everyone will be like, you know when you look up and listen? Everyone will be looking up, and meanwhile, my hand's over someone's face, infecting them in plain sight. I basically just need, like, what, 7 explosions and infecting everyone. I don't need to wait, do anything, sneeze. It's literally just the same thing every time. Why are these explosions everywhere? Hands on the face.
But they need time to be assimilated.
It happens quick.
Why did a bunch of your blood pour into my mouth when you come in?
Like, yeah, like, they're not going to say anything about it or, like, react to it.
And everyone's just like, yeah. And if anyone, like, kind of stops listening, you just set off another explosion. But you're like, wait, there's another one.
But the people look back over like, hey, that guy's all fucked up in the face. That guy's turning
into
a...
Here's the thing.
No, it happens very quick because it's all internal. It's all internal. And so you just live in the body's flesh and push it all out.
So if someone...
until you were able to fully transform.
Yeah, so if someone does see you, they just think you have your fingers in their mouth for like a sex thing. Like, wow, this guy's getting along well.
There's no fingers in the mouth. It's just covering the mouth. Yeah. And then you're holding their mouth open from the inside out with your tentacles.
Mm-hmm. I could think you could sell it as a sex thing. It calms me. This relaxes me. Yeah.
It's definitely ripe for porn parody. Keenan, hit us.
So I think we've all played the popular game Among Us, sponsored post. You can get a sponsored deal with them now.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out on the podcast. But if I learned anything from Among Us, which is basically the thing, the strategy is to hide in events and bully your friends over Discord. So that's what I did.
And so what sort of things would, like, the thing be shouting?
Oh, just, you know, general bullshit.
Yeah.
Hey, fuck you.
And how does that help them win?
You know, it's like a distraction tactic. So I think, okay, the whole thing about the thing is I'm pretty sure that the dog thing, like, crawls into the vent, and the thing that's fucking them up for the most of the movie is is the thing they bring back from the other base. So it's a distraction. Distract everyone while the other things do all the work.
Between them noticing that one of the guys is gone... and just hearing, like, over the walkie-talkies, hey, fuck you guys, we're never going to kill
you. You know that dog thing that went up through the vents? Like, that was early on. That guy could have infected so many.
Yeah.
So could have done all the work, really.
Mm. Yes, I'd be the lazy thing.
Who's next?
Yeah. My strategy is patience. Pure and simple. Yeah. I arrive as the dog. I get ushered into the pen. I take my time with my moves because they'll be a bit sus. I wait 5 years as a dog before I ever make a move. Then after that, after 5 years have elapsed, I wait until, like, there's some sort of opportune moment. Maybe they're having a party, maybe they're a bit drunk, and then when they go to sleep, then I infect all the other dogs as rapidly as possible. Then I still hold off for a little bit, wait till the next day has passed. Because they were kind of getting through the door a little bit, like one dog was kind of biting through a little bit and making a hole, we kind of, like, chip away at the seams so that one night we can all burst out and just maul the different humans in their sleep one by one.
So in this scenario, how are you stopping the dogs from making lots of noise when you go into thing mode?
I guess maybe my approach could be, maybe I could, like, go up to the other dogs and really rapidly bite their throats. If they hear, like, a yelp or whatever, like, by the time they come over, I've bitten all their throats, killed them all. They come back to just see a bunch of dogs laying there. And they're like, oh, okay, maybe they were having some night terrors. Get out of there. Then I fully reinfect the other dogs.
I always thought this podcast didn't have enough dog deaths in it. So now, how many is that? 8 dog deaths in one podcast? I feel good about that.
Yeah.
I feel really good about that. But I like your idea about patience because I feel like they did rush it. You know, an alt on yours could be the dog for longer, maybe wait to be taken back to the mainland, or maybe wait until you're let out and then gradually assimilate one person at a time.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, doing this big explosion of infection where everyone knows that sees you. It's like, quite easily it would have been this dog just wandering around, just taking over people quietly.
But that dog had probably already infected someone before it was even in the cage.
There was a thing about the guy who was sus, who MacReady shot in the head. He said the dog was with him for like an hour and a half one night, but he offered up that information freely also, so I guess maybe that. But yeah, that was weird that it just stayed with him. Maybe it sensed it wasn't...
The first person infected in the movie is the dog, like, walks up the hallway and, like, goes into someone's room and there's, like, a shadow against the wall.
Yeah.
I think that's the first
one. I thought that was that guy for a second for some reason.
So that guy, whoever probably most likely definitely got infected, he should have played the patience game. One guy, even like a week, you can do it. No one's going to know.
Yeah.
That's hard. What if you're cooking beans on the stove and you burn your hand in the stove and then you're like, ooh, and you become the thing.
You just have to be a little bit careful. Just the tiniest bit careful.
I'm not cooking beans, guys, for 7 days.
You're so cool beans, yeah.
There's probably a lot of missed opportunities for, like, people doing quirky shit. I remember looking really carefully for people doing weird stuff. and not really seeing much. And I feel like there's a bunch of missed opportunities where people could have been doing weird stuff because they were scared or and worried. Mm-hmm. And it could have been some people doing weird stuff because they're the thing. There was none of those little payoff moments, I felt like.
But that's the only one I can think. I think you're right.
Because at first it seems like he just does actually freak out and get real scared. Kills the dogs.
And he breaks the computer.
Yeah.
Did he break the helicopter?
Yeah, he does break the helicopter, but I think at that point he's the thing then. So I think when he's destroying stuff, he's panicking and he's human. But I think when he is in the helicopter and taking technology out of it, he's the thing building the spaceship.
Once they had one human infected, they've got opposable thumbs. When they go to sleep, he can just stealthily like slit everyone's throats.
Yeah, that's it.
He's got it done.
It's done.
In the bag.
What if you trip on, you know...
and land on an open Bunsen burner.
I play self-made video games. I'm like, if you fuck up once, everyone wakes up. You're like, well, I fucked.
Was it their objective just to escape, or was it they wanted to kill everyone?
I think they wanted to go home. That's my theory. So all it really needed was like one human with like opposable thumbs.
Yeah.
To like rebuild shit. But people just kept interrupting it.
We were the bad guys.
We were the villains the whole time.
Maybe they should make the human movie, and it's like this like thing just trying to make it in the world from the thing's perspective.
Yeah. Kurt Russell just keeps curb stomping it.
Ben, have you done yours?
Nah. Well, okay. Firstly, the question is, if we were the thing, how would we take over and win? Well, the thing did win, so...
Just do what it did.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Because at the end, if the theory is correct there, that Keith David is a thing because he's not breathing good.
He's not billowing.
He's got the flamethrower in hand and Kurt's there with nothing. Like, he's defenseless. So that's done.
Why doesn't he just attack him then?
Well, he probably will. I assume he will. You can do anything at that point. Like, he's won. He can take as much time as he wants. He doesn't need to rush it there. I figured, like, 1 second after the credits start rolling, he jumps on him.
And we hear the audio.
You listen closely, yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really faint.
You have to actually run it backwards to hear it.
Yeah. If you do listen carefully, you can hear
it. Charles, what the fuck?
Tell me you got that.
Final thoughts?
Of the movie in general?
Well, that's it. We're out of time. So tune in next week where we're talking all things Edge of Tomorrow. I've been Hayden.
I've been Sam Keenan.
Sam O'Neill.
I've been Zach.
Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
I love you.
Love you, bye. Love you.
I love you.
I miss you.
Bye, Dicko.
Tell me you got that.